Hola, bonjour, hello. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to have a world language class where instead of teaching the language, the rules, and the vocab, you and your students use the language to enjoy learning about each other and the world? I hope your answer is a big yes, because that's exactly what you will discover inside Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. My name is Claudia Elliott, a Spanish teacher born and raised in Colombia, who is as passionate as you are to support our learners to grow in their proficiency and cultural competence. My goal is that in this podcast you find clarity, strategies, ideas, and inspiration that you can bring into your classroom the next day. Are you ready? Get comfortable while I grab my cafecito colombiano and let's start this conversation now. Hola, bonjour, hello. Welcome to a new episode of Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. Today is the second part of our episode on reimagining language textbook for comprehensible and communicative teaching. Last episode, we talked about how we can balance or how can we align our textbooks with the principles of second language acquisition. And I gave you four ideas. The first one was to start with input and personalize your context. And when I'm saying about start with input, what I want you to do was to look at your textbook and find a text in your textbook that you could use, that it was relevant for you, where you can use, adapt the language so it would be comprehensible for your students, and then share that with your students. And by doing that, your students were going to learn about somebody or something or a place or get to know something new, because communication was going to be at the center. And then by adding personalized questions and answers, you were going to connect that topic with your students, and it will allow you to extend the input. So that was the first one. The second one was kind of like reimagining the PP model that most textbooks follow, where there is a presentation, then there is a practice, and there is a finally production. And the reason is because that model focuses more on practicing language and less in communication. And what we want is the opposite. We really want to focus on communication. So the way that we can do it is to always really understand that we need to start with input. Our students need to have the possibility to engage with that input, read and listen many, many times the input. And then through interactive activities, interpersonal activities, we can just extend that input and finally go to support the output. And also, we can use many of the activities that are already in our textbooks. What we just need to pay close attention is that communication is at the center. There is a communicative goal for those activities. And remember, communication is interpretation, expressions, and sometimes negotiation of meaning in a context and for a purpose. And that's the definition that Dr. Bill Van Patten has in his book, while we're on the topic. Okay, so the third one was to narrow our vocab and really focus on frequent vocab. Really kind of like challenge ourselves to not include the 100 words from the vocab list, but focus on frequent and relevant vocab. And the last one was to walk away a little bit from that traditional, or a lot, from that traditional grammar approach of teaching and presenting the grammar, practicing the grammar, and producing the grammar, and go to structure input activities. And in structure input activities, we focus on a form, but without eliminating the message. So we're still listening to the message. We're still engaging with the message. There is still a message that we need to pay attention. So we don't abandon communication. Communication is part of the activity, but at the same time, we're focusing on form. And if you want to more about the structure input activities, you need to listen to episode 41 with Dr. Florencia Henshu, where she really goes in detail of how we can structure input activities. Oh my goodness. Okay. So that was part one. And if you haven't listened to part one, I really want you to pause this, stop this episode, and go back to that, and then come back to episode 53, because here I'm going to answer your questions. And I'm going to divide your questions into four themes. The first one is going to be related to vocab. The second one is going to be grammar. The third one is going to be structuring your daily lesson plan. And the last one is going to be how you can deal when it's outside your classroom. When the struggle is outside your classroom, that means that your department is not with you, that maybe the teacher in the class that follows, like your students are going to go to that level, is asking you to do X, Y, that you really don't think that is aligning with principles of second language acquisition. Okay, so let's start with vocab. So the vocab question is, of course, the question that we always have. And I have three questions, and all three were related to the same topic. How can I incorporate an overwhelming amount of vocab? So the answer is, do you need to incorporate the overwhelming amount of vocab? And my question is, because sometimes we feel like we have to, but we really don't. So what I want you to really think is, do I need all this vocab? Is there some reason beyond my control where my students are going to have to know this vocab? And then I want you to think about this. When I cover, or the moments that I used to cover in the past, all these 100 words, how did it go? How did it work for you? Because for me, when I was covering for many, many years, the 100 words, I did all the flashcards, I did all the quiz, the sets in Quizlet, I did all the games, I did it all for vocab, covering the 100 words. This was the result. Some kids, few kids, would memorize it for the quiz and had 100 in the quiz, no doubt about it. But then but most of them didn't. So it was a lot of C's, maybe a few B's, just few A's. And I have a good amount of D's and a good amount of F's when I did that vocab quiz for, you know, like the 100 words. Now, not only that, but then from the ones who memorized it for the quiz, how many of them retain it for the next chapter or the chapter after that, of the chapter after that? And let's not even talk about the next year. So what we found, or what I found, is that even though I focus in the 100 words, my students were going to go to the next level. And some of them would say, oh no, I didn't see that in Spanish one with Señora Elliot. She didn't do it. And I was like, yes, I did it, because I was your teacher in Spanish one. And that was my reality. So I know that we have, for X or Y reason, we feel like we need to incorporate the entire vocab list. But do we? And when we do, is there any way that we can be successful? And when I started learning about second language acquisition, I felt so much relief, because like, oh my gosh, it wasn't like me being a bad teacher or my students being a bad students. It was that it was not realistic to believe that my students were going to acquire all those words in such a short period of time without using them in the context of communication and for the next year. So what I'm asking you is to think about why are we incorporating, why we want to incorporate. Now, there are some options if you want to say, okay, so how can I handle that? In last episode, my advice was, let's look at your vocab and make some decisions. What do you think is the most frequent vocab from that? And what is the most relevant and essential vocab that you need? Can we start with that? Now, you start with 10 to 15 words. And then when you are delivering your input and when you are doing a lot of PQAs, there are going to be a lot of incidental vocab, a lot of words that your students are going to say, how do you say that? And they're going to remember that word more because they want to say it. And that is kind of like the additional vocab that we're going to add to those first 15 words. So that is a choice that we have. Now, I really like, I was sitting with Meredith's wife in a conference that we went a few weeks ago with Dr. Florencia Henshaw, and she showed me a chart, kind of like a graphic organizer, that it was from Thomas Sauer, and it was self-selected vocab. So in this activity, what students were going to do is based on a language, on a language function, meaning, okay, so this is your communicative can-do statement. I'm going to be able to describe my house, for example. So what vocab do you need to describe your house? And then there were going to be some grouping of that vocab where students self-select the vocab. And that was a brilliant idea because then you're giving students autonomy to decide what is the vocab that they really need. Because like our houses are different. So if my house is one floor, what do I need to have two floors? If I mean my house doesn't have an elevator, it doesn't have. What do I need that word? If I don't have stairs, what do I need that word? So there's a lot of words that we don't need to talk about the things that we want to talk, right? And if I don't need them, I'm never going to try to like really go that and get that word from my memory because I will never use it. So by doing this self-selected vocab, you are really giving that option for your students. So I'm going to put the link for that activity in the show notes. And that was another option. Now, if you say, no, Claudia, that's not my case. It's not like my decision. It's not because I feel like they need it. It's not because I want them to do it. Is because we have a mandated exam and that assessment will include those words. And that's a different situation because in that case, we want to support our students. We want them to be successful and we want to give them whatever they need. Plus, we want to keep our jobs. So in that case, what I would do is, can we dedicate maybe a small chunk of our daily class for vocab practice? And what I'm thinking is, if we are going to make decisions and our realities are different, our contexts are different, and sometimes we have limitations and they're there. And that's part of our teaching career and we have to deal with them. So we know that maybe focusing on 100 words all day long is not going to be effective. Our students are not going to acquire. However, we can say, okay, you know what? 30 minutes of my class is going to be dedicated to, I'm going to deliver the input. I'm going to have my students to engage with the input. We're going to focus on this essential and frequent vocab. And we're going to just work with that. And we're going to do interactive activities. And we're going to do interpersonal activities. And we're going to do presentational activities. And we are going to really work on this input. And we're going to have communication at the center. And that's going to be 30 minutes of my class. But my class is 45 minutes. And I have to have my students to really memorize the best that they can these words. Okay, so for the rest, the 15 minutes, we can work. We can play with Quizlet Live. We can play with BlueClay. We can play with GameKit. We can play Pictionary. We can play charades with the vocab. So we can limit the time, knowing and having the expectation that that is something that we have to do. So let's put kind of like a time. Or if you assign homework, I don't. But if you have to assign homework, because I know there are some schools that require their teachers to assign homework. If you're not required to assign homework, my advice is don't require homework. But if you are in the situation where you have to require homework, maybe that's the homework. Because it's going to be more independent work. They don't need you. They don't need the time. And do kind of like a just flip the classroom in that way. So that practice of vocab is going to be outside the classroom. And we're going to use the vocab in the effective way to really provide comprehensible input. Okay, let's move to grammar. So the grammar, I have two questions. This first one is, how do you ensure students get practice in the first person since most materials are in third person? Okay, that's a great question. And how I do it in my class is by asking questions. And I'm going to give you an example. I do a ton of questions in my class. I spend a ton of time talking with my students. It's just all the time, every time that I bring in input, I turn and ask a question. But when I ask a question first, if it's a personalized question, I answer first. So for example, I'm talking about the story that I just created about Linda Caicedo, and I'm going to say, oh, Linda really likes to play soccer. And I'm going to say, do you like to play soccer? And I'm going to answer, I don't like to play soccer. what about you, Megan? Do you like to play soccer? And then Megan is going to say, I don't like to play soccer. And then I'm going to say, Abby, and what about you? Do you like to play soccer? And then Abby said, yes, I love to play soccer. And I'm going to ask Emma, and you, do you like to play soccer? And Emma said, yes, I love to play soccer. I play soccer with Abby. Like, oh, great, class. Abby and Emma like to play soccer, but Megan and I don't like to play soccer, right? So right there is where I incorporate different forms of the verbs, is by having these conversations with my students. Also, I include that in my write and discuss. After I provide the input, I always do a write and discuss, and that's a strategy that I learned from Mike Pito. So I kind of like compile and consolidate all the language that we have been using in class, and we co-write a text. And when we are co-writing that text, I lead that activity, so I can be very intentional in incorporating different forms of the verbs. And I'm also very intentional to incorporate different like features for the text and different connectors and different transitional words, so I can model the language. So that is how we can incorporate those different forms. Now, I have another question about grammar, and it was in part of my session of Planeando. We have a planning together session inside my community with Spanish Teacher Academy. And the last Sunday of every month, we get together to try to plan for the month. And teachers come and I answer questions and we share resources. It's awesome. So this time I have Angela, and Angela, one of the teachers, said, I'm going to start a unit in my textbook and it's about the city. And I'm just kind of like, oh, confused. I don't know how to start this. Plus, I need to use subjunctive with adjectival clauses. Okay. In Spanish, it's el subjuntivo con cláusulas adjetivales. Wow. Right? Like that is just kind of like so scary. But she was asking how, and this is how we ended up kind of designing her unit. And we're going to say, okay, we're going to start with a tour of your own city. She's from Medellin, so she's going to bring places and she's going to do Google Maps. And then she's going to do like a map talk, but she's going to have some visuals. And she's like, oh, you know what? When I go to a city, I want to go to a restaurant that blah, blah, blah. So by her saying that, that is using subjuntivo con cláusulas adjetivales. So what we were trying to think is, how can we use that structure inside of her input, her map talk input, her walking tour input to Medellin, where students are going to be listening to her, not paying attention if she's using subjunctive or not. You know, they don't care less, but they're going to listen to the structure, understand the structure, and she's going to be intentional of using that structure through her tour. And after she finished her walking tour, her map talk, then the students are going to have a lot of interaction with that. And we're going to create type of some structure input activities where students are going to have to look at the sentences that are using subjuntivo con cláusulas adjetivales and complete some activity, trying to focus their attention on those structures. And then at that point, Angela is going to decide whether or not she's going to do like a pop-up grammar explanation, maybe really short. And then she's going to ask the students to try to do a tour, but in the tour she's gonna give some sentence frames and some sentence starters that are gonna support their output. And that is how she's incorporating grammar that is included in her textbook, the vocab, some, not all, that was part of her chapter in her unit. So that is that is how I did it when I was doing it in my class, and I feel like it's so much more engaging for our students. Okay, the next one is, how can I plan for all my days when I don't have a textbook? And that's such a great question. I think we need to have a structure. I have a few members of my academy that we remind all the time, and like, we need to have a structure. We need to know how we're going to start our classes every single day, how we're going to finish our classes every single day. Because if every single day I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do tomorrow for 45 minutes or for 90 minutes or for 70 minutes, we are going to be exhausted. And that is not sustainable. And practices that are not sustainable are not effective because we cannot do that on a daily basis. So what I'm going to share with you how I do it. And I'm going to put in the link, I think it was episode 20 maybe or 19. It was something like that, where I did an entire episode of how I plan for my 90 minutes class because I don't have a textbook. So people ask, how do you decide all this? I don't make decisions about my 90 minutes. I make decisions maybe about 30 minutes, but the rest is already planned. I do it all the time. So I'm going to give you a couple of options. So first, I'm going to say how you need to decide how to start your class every day. So I start my class with 5 minutes of a social emotional learning check. My students come to my class and they see a slide where I'm asking them how they're doing, and I put music and they have 2 minutes to write down how they're doing that day. I give them some scaffolds, sentence starters, some vocab, and they're going to write it out. And then we talk about that. So that's going to be 5 minutes. After that, we do a quick do now. My quick do now is usually a very small reading related to what happened last class and an activity. And it can be a true or false, finding tutor, put in order, match the image with the text. But it's something that I feel super confident that my students are going to really, really be able to do independently. And it's going to be small reading. It's always, most of the case, 90% of the time, is going to be reading a text that I feel my students are going to understand. Now, if it's something that is brand new, probably not going to happen. But if it's something that I'm going to reword some type of text where I know that my students have a ton of exposure to that and they have seen that, then I'm good. Now, after that, I do calendar talk. In calendar talk, we just go from reading and going over that reading activity, and then we move to talk about our week. And that can go from 5 to 10 minutes. And we talk about how they're doing, we celebrate birthdays, we talk about the test, we talk about the weekend. And then you may be thinking, my gosh, you're wasting time. No, I'm not. Because when I talk about that, I talk about the weather. I talk about the calendar. I talk about the extracurricular activities. I talk about schedule. I talk about our preferences. We talk about celebrations. We talk about birthdays. And it's the birthday of my uncle. And who is your uncle? And what's his name? And where he's from? And where does he live? And so it just gives me incredible space to talk about a lot of the language and the things that sometimes is part of a chapter, like the calendar, right? Like I don't teach a unit about calendar. I don't teach a unit about greetings. I don't teach a unit about colors because I'm using that language on a daily basis. So that is my calendar talk. And after calendar talk, I start my lesson. And that is when I'm planning. And it's probably going to go between 20 to 30, 35 minutes. And after my lesson, I do some type of writing. And I love to do shared writing. So most of the time, I'm going to do a write and discuss where I co-write a text with my students. And after that, I usually do, if we have a game, there's going to be a game day and the exit ticket. Okay, so that's how I structure. Now, a couple of other ideas. In the 10 minutes that I'm talking about do now, you can also do free voluntary reading. I do that for my upper levels. I only do start with my lower levels in the second semester, but free voluntary reading in my upper levels is 8 to 10 minutes. And we do it every day. So that is awesome because it's already planned. I don't have to even think about it. And then every Friday I do free write. So my students are going to write for between 5 minutes to 10 minutes, depending on the level, every Friday. So every Friday, that is part of what we do. Now, you can also choose days. So for example, Mondays, you can do weekend chat. Tuesdays, you can do card talk. Wednesday, you can have a question that is this or that, which is going to be a personal question and you can talk about that. Thursday, you can do, for example, free write. And then Fridays, you can do star student interview. But my advice is find a schedule that you can see, like you know how you're going to start your class every single day. You don't have to plan on it. It's already done. I was talking about that with one of the members of the academy on Sunday, and she's teaching AP. And I really like Diego Heda, wrote a quote, a blog post talking about the question of the day. And he, every day, they start with a writing activity where they answer a question. But it's every day. So he already has these questions and he already knows how to start the lesson every day. It's not something that we need to decide on a daily basis because that is exhausting and is not sustainable. Okay, so that is how we can plan lessons without a textbook. See, so you have the structure, you have how to start, how to follow, how to finish, couple of activities that you do every day, and then you fill with the lesson. Okay, let's go with the last part. And the last part is one of the hardest part, like for us. And it's when we don't have a department that is supporting acquisition-driven instruction, is not supporting this, that they really want us to follow the textbook. How to do that? Okay, so I think for me, what I was learning from others, and when I had to put myself on that chair, when I was listening, maybe what I'm doing is not the best way for my students to acquire the language. It took vulnerability for myself to say, yeah, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I need to like rethink what I was doing and maybe need to start making some changes. So that's why every time that I talk to teachers, I have a lot of grace. Like I really don't pass judgment because I was there, and I'm probably a lot of the things that I'm doing right now, they may not be the best practice. And that's why I keep learning and I keep listening and I keep going to conferences. So I understand that now. So what I would do is, I think we need to compromise, and I think we need to decide what works in our classes and talk to our departments and say, okay, so what are the masks that I have to do? And then we do that, and then we say, can we have these chunks of time where I can do what I think is the best for my students? So for example, if they say you need to do this grammar and this vocab, say, okay, that can be, you know, 30 minutes. Can I do a calendar talk or card talk for 7 minutes every day? And you start from there. And you start from that little activity that you're incorporated in your class on a regular basis. When you are becoming more comfortable doing the activity, when your students are becoming experts doing the activity and using the language for that communication and for the message. And then for the rest, you follow. And little by little, I think that is going to let you have the confidence to maybe have more difficult conversations with your department. Now, for the upper levels, so let's imagine that you have a class that is going to go to the next level, and the next level teachers say, oh, your students are not coming prepared for my Spanish 2. Okay, I have a lot to say about that, but I'm not going to say all the things that I think. But the reality is that that has been the case all the time. I still remember me being Spanish 2 teacher with my students who were with me in Spanish 1 coming to me to tell me, oh, I don't know any of that because I was never taught that. And I was a Spanish 1 teacher. And I said, like, I try to teach that. So I know that we cover that. So the fact that we, as the next teacher, have students who come to our class telling us, I didn't learn that, or we perceive students that are not at the level that they're supposed to be, is so frequent, whether we're using acquisition-driven instruction or not. Now, what I've noticed is since I started using acquisition-driven instruction, I have received opposite comments. Is my students are talking more, they're listening more, they are more comfortable in situations where the language is spoken to them, where Spanish is used, because we use it all the time. However, if there is a need to cover and really focus on a ton of grammar, I think I really like how Ben Tinsley was proposing this in Fluency Matters. So he said, let's flip the classroom. So when we have the situations, we can say, you know, we're using the subjunctive with clausulas adjetivales, but we really need more practice because our next teacher or our assessment require our students to have more mastery of that. Okay, whatever it is, we're going to do it. we're going to flip it. So what he does is, let's say that we are going to use the conditional in the next story that I'm going to say, in the next map talk, in the next activity that I'm going to do in my class. So I'm going to ask my students to go and find a YouTube video explaining the conditional, and they need to listen to the video, they need to take notes, and then they're gonna come back, they're gonna talk in groups, they're gonna teach each other and have like these short conversations about the conditional, and they're gonna have this, you know, understanding of the conditional. Then we're gonna listen to the story, we're gonna read the story, we're gonna read the article, we're gonna really get into the input, we're gonna understand the message, and then eventually we're gonna look at, okay, so see, we're using the conditional. Did you see how that connects with what you were doing in your YouTube video? And they were like, oh, okay. And then you can add for homework more practice of that conditional. So again, it's kind of like deciding, how can I put these requirements that are not my decisions, but are decisions of my department, my school, my district, whatever it is, but it's not my decisions. It's not what I think we need to be using classroom time for that. How can I put those elements in places where they don't take away the time that I'm with my students? Because we know that as teachers, we are like the first provider or input, especially in the first years. And it can be a little bit of time at the end of the class. It can be on a specific day of the week. It can be for a flipped classroom where you go and do homework on that. It can be, and I've heard that too, like a boot camp at the end of the school year before they have to take the test. We can do like a boot camp of grammar where we really focus on that. So I think that when we understand what are the principles of second language acquisition and what truly supports our students to acquire the language, then we can make decisions about, how can I also comply with these requirements or my department, and but keep time, effective time, enough time for me to provide the input that my students need and to design and facilitate the use of the language in a way that supports their proficiency. Whew, that was a lot today. And I know that that's such a difficult topic, because at the end, each one of our textbooks look different and each one of our contexts look different. But I hope that in last episode and this episode, I have answered some of your questions, given you ideas of how you can maybe have or reimagine your textbook in a way that is more aligned with principles of second language acquisition. Okay, before I go, I have a treat for you. If you go to growingwithproficiency.com/leyendas, LEYENDAS, you can get 5 leyendas that I wrote for different levels that you can use anytime. They're great, great readings. Our students love leyendas, and you can have them and use them in October, of course, but in November or January or anytime, they can be also a perfect sub plan for you. So go there to growingwithproficiency.com/leyendas. And I have a favor to ask. If you like this podcast, please give us a review. If you listen in Apple Podcasts, you can go scroll down at the end and then you click to give us a review, because that is going to help us, other teachers find us. And if you have found value on this, please share with your department, share with your colleagues, share with your friends, share in social media, any way that we can to reach more teachers. Okay, that's it for today. Nos vemos pronto. Have a great week. Ciao, ciao.